Thanks to a generous donor, we've purchased a building for the new studios and offices of Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
The donor will match up to $200,000 for the purchase and renovation. The entire cost is approximately $350,000.
You can view an architect's rendering and make a special tax-deductible gift at issuesetc.org.
Or call 618-223-8385.
Thanks for your consideration.
You've got casinos operating at 50% capacity with hundreds of thousands of people going through them, and you've got these churches limited to 50 people. I think the proof is in the pudding.
Divorce is really just the kickoff of a lifetime of transition, loss, and instability for kids. And if you're a child of divorce, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Those who view science and faith as enemies understand neither.
Muhammad, he wants you to believe him on force. For Jesus, he does things to make you want to believe him.
Parents trying to attend a virtual conference with a toddler in the living room. Love Issues, etc.
Where it might be to create this Islamic world.
We talk about the ballot box or the voting booth, however it's done. Maybe this year it'll be filling it out and mailing it in. We talk that about that as being sacred space in American life. My vote is sacred. It's my sacred right, privilege, honor, duty. In what sense is that true? And does that mean that no one can tell me how to vote, who to vote for? Why do I vote? And for whom? I mean, for whose good, in whose interest should a Christian American vote? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the new studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about American voting and the Christian conscience with Dr. Joel Bierman, professor of systematic theology at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. A little bit later, Dr. James Rogers joins us. He's associate professor of political science at Texas A&M University. We'll discuss Christian democracies, and then we'll round everything off today talking about Old Testament patriarch Isaac. We know a lot about his birth, some about his death, and very little in between. Dr. Kevin Golden will be our guest. Joining us to talk about American voting and the Christian conscience, Dr. Joel Bierman. He's professor of systematic theology at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. He's author of a recent column for the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Beyond the Booth. Dr. Bierman, welcome back to Issues Etc.
It's good to be with you guys.
What do you make of this very common and kind of axiomatic idea in American political society that the voting booth is a sacred space?
Yeah, well, it's sacred probably from this world standpoint in that nobody else should infringe upon it, and it's kind of a holy obligation. And there is, frankly, there's one sense about that which I would tend to agree with, the idea of a holy obligation as a citizen of the United States. Part of the obligation we have as being part of the government is that we vote. So I would agree that it is a sacred space, but probably not the same way that the world sees it as sacred.
Along with the idea of voting as sacred and the idea that no one can tell me how to vote, those ideas usually go together. Is that a Christian notion?
I would say it's not. My contention would be that as people who are seeking to follow Christ and to declare his truth to the world, the goal we should have when we do everything is to honor Christ and serve our neighbor. And so that means all that we do is in light of our Christian confession, and that would include voting. So I would say that a Christian would approach the responsibility of voting also from the standpoint of his or her faith and ask the question, what would God have me do as I cast my vote?
You say that emphasizing the unity of the spiritual and the temporal when it comes to Christian voting doesn't destroy the distinction between those two. What do you mean by that?
Well, this gets to a kind of a much larger problem, which is just manifest in the way we look at voting, and that's the entire relationship or interrelationship between our spiritual lives and our lives lived out in the world. And for too many people, and I would say even many Lutheran people, they have followed the teaching that has been instilled in them from their upbringing in the American classrooms, that there is a separation between church and state, or a wall of separation, and that the two should not ever interact. And my contention is that if you actually read Luther and study Lutheran teaching on this, it's not as bifurcated as we've gotten used to seeing it. They are to be kept distinct. The work of the temporal realm and the work of the spiritual realm are different, but they're not unrelated, and they're not to be kept divorced from each other. So in other words, as a Christian, I look at my responsibilities lived out in the world in the context of what God tells me about them and what God teaches me about them, and I recognize my tasks are done as God's child for the sake of the world, and knowing who I am in Christ. So they are informing each other. The problem you have with making too great of a distinction between them to the point that they become divorced is that people sometimes think that their temporal lives can be directed by other forces or by other considerations, and that the role of God or the role of the church is minimal there because that's not spiritual stuff. My contention is everything is spiritual, and God cares very much about the temporal realm as much as he does the spiritual realm.
How does the teaching of God's rule in two kingdoms or two realms guide the Christian vote? What is that teaching, and how does it help us in the voting booth?
Yeah, the teaching of the two realms is, I would contend, one of the foundational moves that Luther makes. He operates, we know, with the distinction between law and gospel. He operates with a clear understanding of the righteousness we have before God, which is by grace, and a righteousness we attain in the world by doing the things he gives us to do. And he also operates with this idea that God is at work in the world in two very distinct ways. He's at work in the world to deliver his gospel through the church. And so pastors bring the means of grace, and they preach the gospel, and they give us the forgiveness of sins. And then God is at work in the temporal realm, or basically all the rest of creation, accomplishing his purpose there as well, which is the care of his creation and the provision for his creation, which he made and which he loves. And so he has established the government and then government leaders to make sure that this work is going on well. And so these two spheres, these two realms work in tandem with each other. God is working in both of them to accomplish his purpose. So as a Christian who understands both of those realities, I look at my responsibility in the temporal realm as a gift from God and as a task given me by God. And I do that freely, not because I'm earning his salvation or earning his favor or to get points with God, but simply to accomplish what he's given me to do in this world for the sake of my neighbor. And so the temporal realm becomes this wonderful avenue or this wonderful area within which I do the work that God has given me to do. So the spiritual aspect is clearly there. I know who I am, God's forgiven child, and I know what I'm here for, serve those around me. And then the temporal realm is where I go and do that work, doing what God has given me to do.
Many have noted that from a Lutheran perspective, we haven't been particularly well served by the term separation of church and state. Would we be better off thinking of it or using the term the distinction between church and state?
Yeah, I think that would be an outstanding idea. I mentioned the separation implies this wall of separation. And I've been surprised at how many Lutherans seem to assume that that's a Lutheran idea, this wall of separation. It's absolutely not. That's Jefferson's idea. Jefferson coined the idea of the wall of separation, and then it's been perpetuated and then enhanced by countless thinkers after him in the American context. So this idea of separation of church and state is a very Enlightenment, a very American way of thinking, but it's not a very Lutheran or Christian way of thinking, I would say. So I think distinction would be a much better term to use.
So if we're talking here about God's two realms or God's rule in his two realms, how does that idea, that teaching, help us understand what it means for us to vote?
Well, it really frees you to think about the responsibility as it plays out in all areas of your life, the responsibility God has given you to care for the other. And so I would say that even voting, I look at not as a purely political thing or as a purely economic sort of thing, but it's an area of me doing my vocation for the sake of the other. It's an area of my Christian service. It's an area where I'm also able to do what God has given me to do for the sake of others. So I look at my voting task, my voting responsibility, as one more expression of who I am as God's forgiven child serving those around me. And so then I begin to see my vote not simply from the standpoint of my political inclinations or my thought of who's going to make my life a little better, but I look at it more as an opportunity I've been given to serve my neighbor by casting my vote.
How does God want us to vote? What does he want us thinking of when it comes time to pull the lever?
I would say that God wants me thinking primarily about my identity as his child and how I express that. But then I think he wants me to worry less about, you know, what's going to be good for God, because God is self-sufficient and takes care of all his needs, and he's fine. And his church is also going to be fine. And I'm convinced of that. God has promised that his church will be maintained, and he's going to care for that. So I would say that our primary focus should be on those choices I can make by my vote that are going to better promote God's truth in the world, or more nearly conform to God's will for how this world is supposed to function, because that really is what is defined as justice. Justice is what conforms to God's will. So I would say that what we should be thinking about as we vote is, what does my vote do towards the promotion of God's justice in the world? So if I have a ballot initiative to vote for this thing or that thing, a new tax or a new proposal in some sense, I need to do some homework. I need to study. I need to figure out what's actually involved in this proposal. What would this tax do to this people? What would it do to these people? What are the advantages? What are the disadvantages? Should I vote for this or not? And I vote not just thinking about, oh, this is going to make more money for me, or this is going to be a burden to me. I need to be thinking, what is this going to do for the sake of others? And then when it comes to individual candidates, the question I should be asking is, does this candidate more nearly conform to God's purposes, or is this candidate going to be promoting ideas or actions that would be at cross purposes to what God would have me do?
Dr. Joel Bierman is our guest. He's professor of systematic theology at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. We'll go into a little more detail on what justice actually looks like according to God's word as we talk about Christian voting and the Christian conscience on this Tuesday, August the 11th. Church and state, communion fellowship, the church year, baptism, Lutheranism. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August is a simple explanation series. It's a pack of 20 pamphlets with solid biblical guidance on various Christian topics. A simple explanation pamphlet is perfect for outreach programs, new member classes, and in the church pews. Learn more at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. A simple explanation series.
Have you ever wondered if your investments could do more? I mean, a whole lot more? This is Rahema Kavuga, Synod Relations Manager of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. When you invest with us, you not only earn a competitive interest rate, but your investment goes to strengthen Lutheran Church Missouri Synod church workers, congregations, schools, and organizations through low-cost loans and services. To learn more, visit lcef.org/invest101.
Lutheranism in the public square. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago, with a message for parents, grandparents, and godparents of college-bound children. Concordia Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're devoted to our Lutheran confession and committed to strong academics. Please encourage your child, grandchild, or godchild to check out Concordia University Chicago at cuchicago.edu.
Hi, this is Pastor Eric Lang of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Gresham, Oregon. One thing I've asked of the Lord, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Mount Hood, Multnomah Falls, the Oregon coast. Oregon is beautiful, but nothing compares to the beauty of the Lord's house. If you are vacationing in the Portland area, please come join us at Redeemer Lutheran Church in Gresham, where the liturgy lives and God's people worship as one. For more information, go to wheretheliturgylives.org.
Well, Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the American conscience and American voting. Dr. Joel Bierman is our guest, author of a recent column for the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Beyond the Booth. The Lutheran Witness interprets the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective. The theme of the August issue is religion and politics. Learn more at cph.org/witness or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, in print and online, the Lutheran Witness magazine. Dr. Bierman, before the break, you were talking about justice. Now, go into a little more detail. According to God's word, what does justice for our neighbor actually look like?
Yeah, justice looks like God's will for his creation, which looks like the law, which looks like the Ten Commandments. So in other words, I think through the Ten Commandments or the Decalogue, and I ask myself questions about the responsibilities I have as a creature and the way that God has intended this world to work. And I think about how does this candidate, how does this particular item on the ballot, how does this touch on God's will for how the world is supposed to work? Is this at odds with it, or is it enhancing it? Obviously, there's going to be discussions about these things, and there's going to be disagreements among Christians. But if Christians are at least asking the question, is this vote going to be enhancing God's will for the world? I think they're on the right track and asking the right sort of question.
You suggest a triage of questions that we ought to go through when casting our ballots. What specifically are those questions?
Yeah, well, I've got some things I just would suggest we should consider as we approach the task of deciding how I should vote. And the first thing I would say is, remember that your overriding responsibility is to your neighbor, and that would always be the near neighbor. In other words, the one that who is close to you that has a need. What needs do people have? How can this vote help those who are in acute need? And what's going to be to aid them by the way this vote might play out, or the decisions this person might make, or the actions this person might take? Are those going to help the neighbor or hurt the neighbor? So that's the first kind of question. And then I would say the second kind of axiom or triage I would suggest, the second point would be that the protection of human life outweighs the enhancement of human life. And that would mean that if we're going to try to protect human lives, this is more important than enhancing life. In other words, saving someone's life or giving them life is more important than making my life a little more comfortable or making somebody's life a little more enjoyable. That's the priority there. Clearly in mind is the question about abortion and candidates who would promote continual abortion rights, I would argue, are continuing to allow the killing of children, whereas I would argue that a more important thing is not that we enhance the rights of certain people or make their life more comfortable, but we should be thinking, what am I doing to actually preserve life for certain people? So that's the second thing. The third item I would say is that people rank ahead of animals. And so preserving wetlands is certainly important, but preserving the livelihood of people and the ability of people to be able to live according to God's purposes, that's more important. Third is that people rank ahead of animals. Fourth, I would say that the stuff that we accumulate and protecting the stuff we accumulate or want to keep always ranks last on the list. In other words, keeping what I've got is not more important than enabling somebody else to live more purposefully or more in line with God's purposes or even to have life at all, frankly. And then finally, I would say that respect for each person always ranks ahead of me keeping what is mine. The goal is not for me to keep what I've got and try to figure out who's going to keep my taxes low or enable me to have a richer, happier life. That's not nearly as important as asking the question, which of these candidates is going to allow others to have life, others to live lives in conformity with God's purposes, and for there to be a chance for people to actually to live the way that God has intended them to live. Those are the kinds of questions that should take priority.
How should we then rightly consider voting to be a sacred act?
Well, I think it's a sacred act because it is a task that is given to you by God. It's not an option. I've sometimes heard people suggest that, yeah, I'll vote if I get around to it, or I'll choose not to vote. I would say that a Christian really does not have that option. God has said that we are to be good citizens, and we are to be supportive of those who are in responsibility for caring for us, the Romans 13 thing, to be in subjection to government. Well, in a Democratic Republic in which we live, we are part of the government. We have a task to do in the government, which means, yes, pay our taxes, and yes, be supportive of those government leaders and pray for them. But it also means to be aware of what's going on and to vote and to participate in that democracy by voting. So we do need to vote. So that means that when we go into the voting booth, it is a sacred space. Not that I can do whatever I want or whatever I feel like doing, but I can there accomplish God's purpose for me as his creature and serve my neighbor by the way I vote. It's sacred in the sense that this is a sacred trust given to me by God that I carry out for the sake of those around me.
Finally, then, how do you respond to someone who says, look, voting is really about my enlightened self-interests in protecting those?
Yeah, I would say voting is not about serving yourself, but serving your neighbor. And you can use your enlightened thinking to reach decisions, but your enlightened thinking must always be informed and directed by a greater truth, which is what God has actually revealed to us in Scripture and in his world around us through his natural law, the things that conform to his will and his definition of justice. That's what always takes priority.
Dr. Joel Bierman is professor of systematic theology at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis and author of a recent column for the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Beyond the Booth. Dr. Bierman, thank you again.
My pleasure. Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to talk about Christian democracies. Dr. James Rogers will be our guest. He's author of a recent column titled Lessons for America from Europe's Christian Democracy.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod celebrates and affirms life from the time of conception until natural death, and every time in between. For this reason, LCMS Life Ministry is a program singularly devoted to upholding the sanctity of human life, both in our church body and the culture at large. Life Ministry provides educational materials, hosts conferences, and works closely with allies such as Lutherans for Life. For more information, visit lcms.org/life and follow LCMS Life Ministry on Facebook.
For your next family vacation, consider Our Beach House, a charming three-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at SiestaKeyRentalGenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR20. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's a monthly magazine on faith and life, theology and culture that helps readers interpret the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective. Filled with expert insights, good writing, and inspiring stories, it also provides essential church information for LCMS members. What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's the flagship periodical of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and it has been for more than a century. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today.
Where doctrine is life. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor: Catalina Lutheran, Tucson, Arizona; Glory of Christ Lutheran, Plymouth, Minnesota; Holy Shepherd Lutheran, Haslett, Texas; Lord of Life Lutheran, Chesterfield, Missouri; Our Redeemer Lutheran, Emmett, Idaho; Redeemer Lutheran, Fairhope, Alabama; St. John Lutheran, Champaign, Illinois; St. Paul Lutheran, Chatfield, Minnesota; Trinity Lutheran, Fredericktown, Missouri; and Zion Lutheran, Gwinner, North Dakota. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.